I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. What is it that burns in me?
All right, Mike. You know, there's not many people I'd be willing to be tied to, but you're special. All right? I love how that you're growing. Good things happening.
Well, I appreciate you letting me literally shadow you on a Sunday service and let me see what goes on behind the scenes. So tell me, what are some of the first things you do here on a Sunday morning?
Well, you know, first of all, we got to make sure all the lights are on, the place is ready to go. Something that people forget that's really, really important, you have to make sure you go downstairs, flush all the toilets, they all need to be working. These guys are all jacked up on coffee, let's go to the bathroom. Very important.
Okay, not what I expected you to say, but I'm with you. What else? I mean, should we now start making sure that there's a Bible under every seat?
No. We have a whole team of people that work through those, take care of everything. The chair backs are perfect.
Okay, well, what about the balconies? The balcony. People forget about the balconies all the time.
Like
I mean, we got to check the balcony
they're
out.
They're good up there. They could live up there. They're good.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, what else? What else do you want to do?
See how these windows over here?
Yeah.
See how they're uneven, the shades? This will literally mess up 100 people. They're going to be distracted by the shades, all right? So we all have to be even.
You're really type A, Jerry, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have an idea. Why don't we start taking down all these Christmas decorations?
Because,
Christmas is...
I love Christmas, okay? We can leave these up till the end of January. Nobody will mind.
Jerry, you sure that's a good idea?
Mike, you got to slow down a little bit, all right? So let's do this. I'm going to leave you up here. I need a break from you for a little bit, all right? So I'm just going to cut this here. You do your sermon thing. Have some fun up here. All right, I'll see you maybe afterwards, all right?
All right, Jerry. Well, if you need me, I'll be right here.
Okay.
Well, welcome to Fire Never Sleeps Sunday. This is the one Sunday out of the whole year that we get to preach on anything we want to preach on. We interrupt the preaching calendar and we get to preach on anything we want to preach on. So for me, I knew what I wanted to talk about right away, which was the Holy Spirit. Something God's been doing in my own life, in my own heart over the last couple of years, definitely over this last year.
And
watch this video. Sorry, didn't see that video coming.
What is it that burns in me?
What is it that burns in me, right? So what is it burns in me? So the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's been burning in my heart last couple of years, doing a work in me, and I wanted to talk about it to you today. And the first question I have is, has it ever felt like God was pulling you in one direction and you were pulling in another, right? Like Jerry and I, whose our ankles were literally tied together, he was pulling me in one direction, but I was trying to go in another. And sometimes our Christian walk, our relationship with God, could feel like we're playing a game of tug of war. And for me, I lived in that tension. I grew up a very self-reliant person, kind of rested on my laurels. And when it came to the Christian walk, my general attitude was, I got this. And while I definitely made some progress in my Christian walk, it was always short-lived. It was always short-lived. And I'm thinking that maybe you can relate to this, that maybe there's some things in your life that you're saying, yep, I can relate to that. And you're going into 2020, like me, and you're making New Year's resolutions. You want to lose that weight, or you want to be more patient. I want to be more patient with my kids. And or maybe there's a bad habit that you have, and you're trying to break that bad habit. And before you go out and you make those resolutions, I wanted us to talk about today. I wanted us to look at a particular text, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, who were also living in this tension. They were living in this tension between following a set of rules and regulations, customs and traditions, in their own strength, striving in their own strength, and this tension of this grace-based theology, this teaching that Paul was teaching about our newfound faith in Jesus Christ and how in Jesus and by his grace and by his mercy we can live this life. So before we do, I just want us to pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the great reminder that we have today that we're going to be speaking about. And I just pray that you would help illuminate the passage and illuminate the scriptures that we're going to hear and just burn it into all of our hearts as we step into 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we get our scripture today. It's going to actually be from Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start by reading from verse 16. And the verses are going to be up on the screen so you can follow along with me. There's some mature content in these verses. So since it's family worship day, we have our kids with us, I'm going to paraphrase some of them, but let's start reading this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then Paul goes on to kind of give you a list of some of the attributes of the flesh, like jealousy and hatred and selfish ambition. And then he goes on in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we see right away, and I've underlined it and I've highlighted it in blue in these verses, we see the language that Paul is using, right? We see this language of somebody who's walking, right? Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So we get this imagery of following after someone. And in the Greek, the word Holy Spirit translates as parakletos, which where we get the word paraclete from, which means to come alongside. So what Paul is saying, what's kind of the main message throughout these verses, is that there's this sense of closeness. This sense of closeness, that we're not just following, leading, but we're following closely, alongside. Jerry and I, you know, we were literally tied together. And for us to not trip over each other, we had to walk closely alongside of each other. And that's what it means to walk by the Spirit, is we have to stay close to the Holy Ghost. So that's, our kids in the room, I want you to remember that. Stay close to the Holy Ghost, because if your parents give you a quiz on the way home today and ask you what the message is about, I want you to tell them, Mike told us to stay close to the Holy Ghost. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And out of the text, I want us to answer three questions today, which is, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? What does that look like? Why is it so important? Why is it so critical to walk by the Spirit? And then third, how practically can we walk by the Spirit? So let's take the first one. What is walking by the Spirit? Well, I've been focusing and I'm fixating myself on the word by, right? Walking by the Spirit. It's by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, not by yourself, not by your own will, not by your own determination, not by your own strength, not by your own power, but by God's. To walk by the Spirit is to rely on God's power, God's strength, and His name instead of your own. Simple as that. And in this life, in our driven society, especially here in New York, this is probably the hardest step, this hardest thing for us to come to. We complicate our lives with this. And I found this really great quote by Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he writes this about the Christian life. The Christian life, properly understood, is not complex nor difficult. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is very simple. It's so simple that we stumble over the very simplicity of it, and yet it is so difficult that no one can live it. The paradox occurs because the Christian life is a supernatural life. The only one who can help us live this abundant life is the Lord Jesus Christ, who empowers us by His Holy Spirit. By His Holy Spirit. You know, my father-in-law, he lives in Pennsylvania, he has this, here it is up on the screen, this Lionel electric model train display in his house. He literally has a whole room dedicated to it. My mother-in-law fought him over this room for years, and he finally got permission to use her room, and he set it up in the room, and it looks like this, and it's complete with snow-capped mountains and lakes and rivers and a little town square and a church, and he's got hundreds of trains. Trains that have been passed down to him from his childhood, from his father. Some trains, I asked him, what was his most prized possession? He said, my 1920s Hunter train. And it still runs to this day. It's almost 100 years old. And one day recently, he actually had some trouble with the trains. They weren't running, and he was troubleshooting it and trying to figure out what was going on. He looked at the wiring, looked at the trains themselves, and he just couldn't figure it out for the longest time. But then he realized that he had a problem with the power supply that was sending a signal to the engine car, which is sending a signal to all the other trains. And so walking by the Spirit is a lot like how this train was running, which is that we need to stay connected to the power source so that even though we might be in our own strength, looking good and doing all the right things and knowing the right things to do, on our own, we can't get there without the power source. So that's the difference between walking in our own flesh, walking by ourselves in our own strength versus walking by the Spirit. We have to stay connected to the power source. And the Holy Spirit will bring you to places that you can't go on your own. Our second teaching point, which is, why is it so critical to walk by the Spirit? Why did Paul think it was so important to teach this to the newfound Galatian Christians? Why was it so important not to follow rules, regulations, customs? We're talking about following after seasons and new moons and days and months and years. Why was it so important that he teach them about walking in the Spirit? And why did he use such language, which was almost like a language to command them, to say, so I say, walk in the Spirit? And he says this in verse 16. It's where we get our answer. Verse 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And he goes on to list what those qualities are. So walking by the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We will not live in such a way that we live like we don't know God, that we are apart from God in our own devices, that if we're left to ourselves, we will operate in and out of, that I will operate in and out of. I will operate out of my self-reliance. I will operate out of my pride. I will operate out of all the junk that I'm making New Year's resolutions over. So if I stay close to the Holy Ghost, it will ensure me that I will not operate in those ways. And we end up walking away from the old life of selfishness and self-reliance, and we walk towards salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. And the bonus, we read this in verse 18. Verse 18 says, if you are led by this, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That all these things, all these wonderful attributes that we strive for every year on our New Year's resolution list, we develop these. And again, I want you to take note of the phrasing. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not of yourself. It's of the Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit's power, and we get to reap the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, and so on. You know, we had a Christmas event a couple weeks ago, and you might have taken your kids to this. Kids in the room, you might have remembered this. This was the trackless train. My kids loved it, and my son Brendan, I asked him what his favorite thing was about the Christmas event after he came back, and he said it was the trackless train. I told him I'm gonna talk about him in my sermon coming up on the 29th, and he was very excited. He was here during the first service, and he was really excited to hear his name. So he's 10, and he loved this train. Everyone who was on it loved the train because it doesn't have a track. right? It doesn't have a track. And without a track, it's swerving and it's moving left to right and it's chaotic and erratic and it's fun. And we're going around the parking lot in circles and you're getting bumped and you're hitting into the next person next to you and it's fun. But, you know, you're not really going anywhere. It's just a fun ride while it's happening, but you're not really going anywhere. And he's talking to me and we're having this dialogue and he actually made the connection. And he said, you know, I wonder if the church brought this trackless train to the event because they wanted to show us what our lives would be like without God. This is a 10-year-old. And I said, go on, tell me more. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? And he said, yeah. He goes, you know, without God leading us in our life, you know, we're all over the place. We're chaotic. We're twisting. We're turning. We're zigging. We're zagging. And he says, but with God, our lives are on track, and we're heading in the right direction, and we're going where he wants us to go. And this trackless train is a symbol of that. And is that, you know, God wants to take you to a place that you can't get on your own. And he has a track for each one of you. He has a track for each one of you that he wants you to stay on with him. And it's by staying close to the Holy Ghost and developing the fruit of the Spirit and denying our flesh that we stay on that track and we go where he wants us to lead. So how do we do this? How in 2020 can we practically walk by the Spirit? And I'm gonna share a few practical steps with you that I've applied to my own life, because like I said, I'm very self-reliant and I need to hear this message more than anybody in this room probably. And these are things that are found in Scripture, so they're all biblical, but these are just things that I put into place. And the first one is probably the most difficult one of all, which is stop striving. Stop. Just stop striving. You know, Jesus taught us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And let's just kind of wrestle with this for a minute, this striving, because we live in this tension as Christians and those that are coming to the faith, and because with the Christian faith, we do have certain edicts, right? We know that there are certain things that we should be doing, and there's certain things that we should be refraining from, and we know we come to church and we worship, and there's so many events, and if you look in the bulletin, there's so many things for you to be a part of and do. So there is a sense of doing on our part as Christians, but at the same time, you know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we have to rest. We have to rest in that. And make sure it's a heart issue, right? It's a heart issue because we want to make sure that we're moving with him, that when we're taking those steps to do those good things, that we're doing it in his strength, in his power, right? And we're not leaving him behind and going off and doing our own thing and then hoping he's going to bless it, right? So it's tough. And, you know, the disciples were also challenged with the same tension because they were benefiting from living close to Jesus. And he gave them this huge commandment, right, which was to go out and make disciples of all nations. I mean, that was a huge thing to do, right? That was a huge, talk about an order given to someone, you know, something to follow. But he said, wait, right? He said to wait, to tarry, and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be able to do that, right? And that's what we need to do as well, is before we go out and we do these things in our own strength, by our own will and determination, we need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come in and to bless us and to fill us with his power and lead us down this road. So the second thing is seek God. So first is to stop striving. The second is to seek God. And there's a few ways that we can do this. These are a few things that I've done in my life that keep me on track. And one is devoting time every day for prayer, right? Just setting aside time. I grew up a rule follower. I was the most legalistic Christian. You know, I had to pray for 30 minutes, and then 30 minutes was 45 minutes and 60 minutes. And I made a rule out of everything. And I'm not telling you to do that. These are just guidelines. And as humans, we do need to hear some steps. So I wanted to give you some steps, especially in the new year. So taking that time to pray every day, however long, Doesn't matter, as long as you're seeking God. Same thing with studying the Bible, right? Taking aside time to read the Bible, but not just read it on the surface, but just get to understand it. Read some Bible commentary. Understand what it is that you're reading about. You know, we picked these verses out of Galatians today, but it's important for us to know who they were written to. What was happening in the church of Galatia? And what was the time period? What was happening in history? You know, really, really study the Bible and get to know what's happening behind the scenes so that the scriptures really come alive to you as you're reading it. The third thing, and this is a big one, is taking time to listen. To listen for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will speak to you through primarily the Word of God, but He will also speak to you through that inner, still, small voice. And one of the ways that I've done that has helped me to discern the voice of God is to journal. I have in my basement boxes and boxes filled with journals back from 20 years ago, and my wife always makes fun of me because she says, when are you going to get rid of these things? You're just in the basement collecting dust, and I need to make room for certain things. And I'm like, I can't get rid of them. You never know when I'm going to need to refer back to them. But I love my journals because I write out things that, as I'm praying, things that have come as coming to my mind, scriptures that come to my mind, thoughts, impressions that come to my mind, and I look over them. And the things that I can back up with scripture, I keep. And the things that are just, you know, way out there and wacky and just, I reject those things. And I don't pay them any mind. But it helps me to filter through the thoughts and impressions that I have as I'm seeking and praying and listening in quiet. The fourth thing, this is also a big one, especially for someone like me who always has the bright idea, the best idea, who thinks they know best, and goes a little bit, maybe a step or two ahead of God, is to stay neutral. Stay neutral. Stay neutral and open to His will. Something practical that I started doing that has helped me to stay neutral, right, is when I'm seeking God for something, right, maybe I'm seeking Him about a decision, take this job, move here, move there, on a piece of paper, I write down what my preferred outcome is. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all know which way we want God to answer our prayers, right? So I write it down. I write it down, and I take that piece of paper, and I rip it up, and I throw it in the trash. And that's just my way of symbolically showing God that I'm not tied to my ideas, I'm not tied to my wants, my desires, what my flesh wants, but I'm open to His will, and I'm submitted to that. So stay neutral. It's a good exercise to go through. And then finally, one of the things that I do is fast. And this could be fasting from food, literally, or it could be fasting from TV, from social media, from the computer. Any time that you take away, you stop doing one thing and you add God to it, where you take time to pray, God honors that. You're seeking God. You're walking with God. You're walking with your Spirit. You're staying close to the Holy Ghost in this way. Anytime you stop doing something that you would have been doing to add God into it, you're cultivating that intimacy with Him, that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So these are just a couple of things that you can do in the new year. But imagine if you did all these things and you started to develop that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That closeness, that one who comes alongside of you. Imagine what your life would look like. How it would look different in 2020 versus 2019. The third step is to step out. And notice that I didn't say these things, I didn't say this as the first step, but the last step. I kind of saved this towards the end. It's to step out in faith and do what you know is right. Do what you know God is calling you to do. And I left this for last because I didn't want you to think that I'm trying to teach something here, which is that I want you to go out in your own flesh and do it. I want you to go out with the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's after you've stopped striving, you've sought God, you're resting in Him, you're listening for His voice, you're being guided by Him, that you can now step out. You can step out and do what you know is right. Pastor Leslie talked about this last week. She encouraged us all to create peace in an unpeaceful situation, right? To be that peacemaker, to make peace with someone. Maybe it's about loving somebody that is a little unlovable, right? right? We look at that list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. We can do those things because we have the enablement of the Spirit with us. We may not feel like loving that person. We may not feel like being patient with that person or that individual, but we do it anyway because we know that that's where the Holy Spirit is leading us to. And I look at this train illustration that's on the screen again. You know, the Holy Spirit is like the engine car that's sending that signal to the other trains. And you notice that feelings are in the back. Feelings are in the caboose, right? The caboose has no power in and of itself. Right? It gets the signal from the engine car, and it goes where the engine leads it. So that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. That's how it is because he is called the Spirit of Truth. It's truth, we are led by truth, and feelings will follow. We have to put action, faith behind the truth that we hear, and we move in that direction, and God moves us in the direction that he wants us to go. So look for opportunities to display the fruit. So those are the three steps. And like I said, what would 2020 look like if you stopped striving, if you sought God, and you stepped in the way that you know that you should go? You know, like Jerry and I, he was pulling in one direction, and I was resisting him and pulling in another. I had a better idea. What is one area of your life that you're resisting God? What is one area of your life where maybe you're functioning by your own best effort, in your own strength? Maybe you're seeing some victory over that thing. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's a temptation. You're seeing some victory, but you keep falling down. You keep tripping over yourself. If you invite God in and you let him lead you, imagine what your life could look like. Imagine the kind of victory that you'd have over that temptation, over that struggle. So I want you to think of that one area of your life that you're resisting God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the great reminder that you do not leave us to our own strength. You do not leave us on our own to live out this Christian life. You do not leave us on our own, God, but that you will come alongside of us, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. You come alongside us and you infuse every believer who has accepted you as their Lord and Savior with the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in your way in the way that we should go. So thank you, God, for keeping us on track. Help us to realign ourselves this new year and stay on the track that you have us going down. In Jesus' name, amen.